We are the Brothers Geek, and welcome to our podcast.
Was that a wow intro? In honor of Wow Draenor?
This is episode... This is episode number 23. I am your host, Patrick Schmaltz, along with my two brothers, Andrew and Christopher Schmaltz.
Hello, brothers. How are you? That was my creepy voice. I'm practicing my voice acting, you know?
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am Christopher.
And scene. Okay.
The pretty brother. That's Andrew.
Yeah.
And that's Patrick.
How you doing, brothers?
Excellent.
Very well.
Well, that's great.
I'm glad to be here.
I am in the holiday spirit.
Yes.
It's a tremendous thing.
We are a week away from a live Brothers Geek. Well, not live, but in-person Brothers Geek.
In-person recording.
In-person recording of Brothers Geek. It's going to be epic.
With at least one special guest.
At least one.
Okay, Andrew was saying something about this before. What's special? Everybody wants to be on the podcast? What's the deal?
Of course, dude. We are so
huge. Oh, my God.
In our family.
Normally, people get approached to be on podcasts. Like, yes. Hey, on our podcast, we'll talk about this. You're an expert in this field. You know, you can promote this, blah, blah, blah. No. Our podcast is so amazing that people want to be part of the amazing.
Let's hear the list. Let's hear the list.
Dinner was clamoring to be on.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Daniel wants to be on the podcast.
Here's number one criteria right now. You have, if they want to be on, they have to have listened to every episode. Number one criteria.
No way. That disqualifies everyone.
Exactly. Except, then you cannot be on the podcast.
Except for maybe my girlfriend, who is probably our biggest fan. Adria is probably our biggest fan.
Would she
want to
be on the
podcast?
She listens
to every single episode.
Would she want to be on the podcast?
Her judgment is sound. She enjoys quality entertainment.
She absolutely does. Yes. She
totally
loves it. And I just don't think it's because she likes me as much as she does. I think she actually genuinely likes the podcast.
Well,
I'm sure liking you doesn't hurt. So
it does, doesn't hurt, but no, I think you're correct, Andrew. That
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that we're entertaining at least one person.
I think we're entertaining way more than that.
Good.
Definitely at least twice that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, good. Next week
is Christmas time.
So everyone,
we will all be in the same room.
So yes, this is you can pass the message because they're obviously not listening to this, all of them anyways. If they want to be on the podcast, they will have to listen to all of them. They have a week to do it. Go.
That's your criteria. I don't think that's the minimum threshold.
I am the boss of the recordings. I will just not record, and I have all
the
power. So,
is that what just happened?
Well, he
pulled it out and he threw it down.
If I don't want it to happen, it won't happen. That's
this is literally true statement.
Yes. So they will have to get through me. They will have to plead to me. And if I look at their little mopey niece nephew eyes, I won't be able to turn.
No. We draw the line.
No underage discussion of the Brothers Geek.
No.
All right, good.
They can
good.
Maybe make a cameo appearance because it's a holiday special.
They can be in the audience.
I think that we ought to pattern our Christmas show on the Star Wars Christmas TV special.
There's going to be a Star Wars special?
No,
dude, there was one.
I was going to say there's going to be a new one. I was like, oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was awful.
Nightmare. Dude, you can't even find it on VHS.
Yes.
It's so horrid.
Legendarily horrid.
I want to watch it.
Interesting little tidbit. First appearance of Boba Fett.
No kidding.
Was on the Christmas special. They the character appeared the first time on the Christmas special.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a travesty in all ways.
A complete travesty.
Yes.
Just gives you, it gives you an inclination of just how horribly misguided some of George Lucas's choices could be.
Yes.
Star Wars Christmas special.
Speaking of Star Wars,
middle of the original trilogy.
They announced this week like all the names of the people in the trailer, not necessarily who they are, but the character names.
Yes,
and,
saw that.
Yeah,
and you can go look at that list. There's a lot of like weird ones, like Finn and
the
Rey
only the,
and,
the what the comfort that I took, the excitement that I took is there wasn't a Count Dooku on the list.
Or no Jar Jar Binks.
Or Jar Jar, no ridiculous idiotic name.
Count Dooku. Yeah. What a what was his Sith name? Darth Tyrannus.
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 It's a little Tyrannus. A little on the nose there, buddy. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. George Lucas.
Yeah. On to better things.
On to better things.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we've got lots to discuss this week. We gotta stay on task.
Stay on task.
Yeah, man, we got lots to discuss.
Okay, let's start off with the announcement of the new Doctor Strange. They announced that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be playing Doctor Strange in the 2016. Is that right, Andrew?
I think that's the target for Doctor Strange is 2016.
Film.
It's third quarter 2016, yeah.
I was really hoping this was going to go through. There was a lot of rumors about it, and it's official, so I'm glad because I feel like this is a great casting, and I love Cumberbatch, and thoughts?
I am right there with you. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
If you can't get a more highfalutin English name than Benedict Cumberbatch.
I love it.
It's
so ridiculous.
The guy wins. He's awesome. He has inexhaustible charm, in my opinion. He is fantastic on Sherlock.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, he was even in Star Trek Into Darkness, which you can quibble about that movie, and you know, there's plenty of things you can point out about the deficiencies in that movie, in my opinion. But he's great as kind of a new version of Khan in that movie.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So there's no movie I've seen him in that I haven't liked him. So.
Yeah, he hasn't been bad in anything.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. Sorry.
Casting him as Strange is awesome. He will have that sort of Strange in the comics has that sort of tortured, enigmatic,
yes,
brooding,
he'll bring
all this shit happening. So
yeah, Doctor Strange
Cumberbatch
is like a level
all of that off in spades.
Oh, easily.
He will be great in that role in my mind.
I think he will too.
So.
Well, I mean, and Doctor Strange is such like a he's a really kind of like a hard hero to do because he doesn't really fight anything like human or like there's not a lot of this is the battle, these are the guys. It's sort of like this ideas of things, like this creature trying to invade and like
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like, oh, there's probably a billion panels of Doctor Strange in a room meditating, you know,
yeah.
and there's a lot of cerebral things happening. So
CG has arrived to the point where everything that's in the comics that he confronts and has to deal with can be perfectly realized.
Oh yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
And it is absolutely perfectly set up to be a origin movie, right? I mean,
yes.
No, who the hell knows anything about Doctor Strange, right?
Nobody.
Right. Same thing as Guardians of the Galaxy,
and
right?
That's the other.
So
they're continuing kind of what they started with, even casting Robert Downey Jr. You take this established, well-respected actor, and you put him into a quote-unquote comic book movie, and people were like, they're going to make an Iron Man movie? He's second tier. You know, he's not
Nobody
Spider-Man.
Cared about
he's
Iron
not...
Man.
Nobody
exactly. cared about Iron
Nobody
Man.
Nobody gave a
that.
Shit. And then
yeah.
they gave
Boom.
The Robert Downey Jr. totally inhabited the role. The movie worked on every level. They can absolutely get lightning to strike twice
and
with
here's why...
a Doctor Strange movie
here's
with,
why
with
I'm,
Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Here's why I'm optimistic is they have the Sorcerer's Apprentice to think about and all the ways that it sucked.
Yeah.
right?
Oh, I like this Sorcerer's Apprentice.
With Nick Cage. With Nicolas Cage?
That's
a terrible movie,
it's,
dude.
It's not a terrible movie, but
it's a terrible movie.
It's bad, but it's fun. It looks cool. Oh, I liked it.
So they have that.
Jake Baruchel has a little bit of charm in that movie.
He's very charming. Yes.
They have lessons that they can take.
Andrew, what's the girl's name in that movie, the blonde? What's her name?
What is her name in that movie?
She's very not ugly either.
Oh, she's an Australian woman. I can't remember her name.
Yes, she's very not ugly.
Very not ugly. Oh, this is going to plague my mind now.
Go look it up.
Anyway, I'll look it up.
So that's
Eliza Taylor.
It sounds like the consensus. Nice. The consensus is that we all approve.
We do approve.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Good. In further
kind of building off that announcement, Patrick, there's been further casting announcements for Marvel related properties.
Oh, yes.
We have reported in the past that Marvel is going to produce four. They announced they're going to do a fourth. There's going to be four Marvel properties that are going to be series, live-action series on Netflix.
Mm.
It's going to be Daredevil, which they've cast, and I believe they started shooting. Also, Power Man, Iron Fist. And now we have learned this week that Kristen Ritter has been cast as Jessica Jones, who appeared in the Alias comic. Nothing to do with J.J. Abrams.
What is Jessica Jones' power? What's her deal?
She, in the Alias comics, she is kind of a third-tier hero who opens a detective agency. She has superhuman strength, resilience. I looked her up, and she, you know, through an accident, she encounters some like magical object, and she gains these powers. And
Is Power Man and Iron Fist going to be like a show on its own? Like, you got to have them together, right? You can't have them separate.
No, apparently it's four separate shows.
Well, calm down for a second. Okay, okay.
This is the second part of the announcement that I heard this week, is that all four of these shows will inhabit the same universe. And they will all tie together on a mini-series that will be produced exclusively for Netflix called The Defenders. So all four of those shows will feed into a Defenders mini-series, which who knows when all this is going to happen. Obviously, I would assume in the next year or two we can expect all of these to be on Netflix.
Wow.
With that, they announced Kristen Ritter, who we were discussing a little bit before we started recording, is a bit of an odd choice in our mind for this. She was a sitcom actress.
Well, I didn't say anything about her, but I agree with that statement. Yeah. Actually, but
she's a little.
I don't understand it.
She always plays like kind of the quirky, like
snotty,
angry snotty girl. Like, not
she's
yeah always kind
if,
of.
If you all don't know, yeah, if any of our listeners don't know Kristen Ritter, you know, obviously you can look her up on the internet and you'll find all kinds of information. But Veronica Mars. She played a supporting role in Veronica Mars, and she was the bee in the short-lived sitcom Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
She was also in a Jay Baruchel movie, She's Out of Your League. She plays like the best friend that hates him.
The snotty, bitchy best friend.
The same character that she's in everything. So
it seems like, yeah. So we'll say, somebody somewhere obviously liked her.
All right.
I'm gonna defer. Marvel has not really had a misstep. I mean,
can I broach a subject to you guys now that I'm thinking about it? Because of all these shows coming to Netflix, and then this crossover show, and then all these movies happening, and then like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Agent Carter. Are we getting to like Marvel overload? Like, I mean, this is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of content.
The term is saturation.
Saturation. Yes. There is a lot.
There is a possibility for that. Well,
it's
a lot
all
of
good. But like, I'm getting the point of like, okay, this is a lot. Like, I mean, that's a lot of shows to watch. That's a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I would be happy if they put two shows on Netflix. Or, make Defenders. Don't make the whole, you know, rigmarole and all that stuff. Just make the one, you know?
Here's why I have I'm not that worried about it because I think that the next Netflix model will be 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it'll be shorter seasons.
So
but...
it will be a it'll be BBC model, sort of Netflix model. It'll be 10 episodes, and then it's done. Right?
Most like shows are going that way, anyways. I think they kind of like the split seasons, yeah, like 10 episode and then break, and then 10 more kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, even network TV is doing that now. I mean, they'll still produce 22 episodes in the season, but they'll do one arc of 8 or 9 episodes, and then they'll do a back 13 or whatever, and they'll have distinctive kind of story arcs. Well, when we get into scene, well, I'll talk. Well, T can talk. We're going to talk mid-season finales, but you know, their basic cable and HBO, they do shorter seasons. That's just the norm. They do 10 or 12 episode mm-hmm. seasons. And they're very tight narrative seasons. Network TV.
That's why I think it'll work and not feel too much like it's too much.
Yeah.
All right.
And if they do, if they release them during the summer, I don't know what the timing is, but if they fill a gap where there's nothing going on, the big sort of hero stuff.
Yeah.
Especially like during the summer or breaks. I mean, I think
binge watch
that'll be perfect for that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And people binge watch stuff like they lock themselves in a room for 9 hours and they watch that entire season of House of Cards.
I will watch Power Fist that way. I will absolutely sit down and watch if it's any good at all.
Yeah. For sure.
Hopefully. They also put out a Terminator Genesis.
Genesis.
I think we're actually supposed to call it Genesis, but it's spelled weird.
Yeah, why is it spelled like that?
Genesis.
Genesis. Yeah, trailer where they're kind of rebooting the series in a way.
They are absolutely rebooting the series.
It's funny how you can do that with time travel.
And I know, right? You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
And then old Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it. Is he in a Terminator that has aged? Is that what's happened?
That's the implication from the trailer, is that he is aged.
Yes. What do we think of what we saw?
The only two things that I'm honestly excited about from the trailer is the fact that we see the future that's set, at least part of the film is set in the future. We see John Connor, who is played by, and I really like, named Jason Clarke, who's been in a bunch of stuff.
Great.
And he's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that Emilia Clarke, no relation to Jason Clarke, is playing the new Sarah Connor, and she is obviously Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones, and she, absolutely put her in movies. More Emilia Clarke on my screen.
She looks very different with brown hair. She kind of looks like Kate from
Lost.
She looks
nothing like herself.
She looks like Kate.
Yeah, no, she does look like Evangeline Lilly.
There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
Totally. Yeah,
Chris, you just watched this trailer. What do you think?
What do you think, Christopher?
You know, it appears to be a retcon of the same old, same old.
Yeah.
With old Arnold.
Well,
so
when you say retcon, even in the trailer, they're retconning stunts that were done fantastically by Chris Nolan a few years ago. They flip
all
a
retcon.
Bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
come up with an original idea, guys.
I'm troubled by all of that. I'm a fan of the Terminator series. All of those, you know, I would say through three.
Four, yeah, three
I
is four. Pretty, is
I like
bad.
Salvation. I like
Salvation's
Salvation.
Okay. Three is horrid.
And
this trailer reminds me a lot of three because it just seems like we don't need to do a real story. We just need to freaking blow shit up and people will come. Like, that's not what Terminator's about. Terminator's about, you know...
What is Terminator about, Patrick?
Yeah, tell us.
It, you know, robots and blowing shit up. That's what it's about.
So your point just caved in on itself.
I feel like because of
Destiny,
James Cameron... James Cameron had a next level to his writing, to his directing, where he could destroy stuff and blow things up, and it looked amazing. And he's always groundbreaking with CGI, and this just looks like nothing we haven't seen before, nothing that's special, or oh wow, look at that. Terminator 2, the whole liquid metal.
It's full universe. I very much hope that it's a solid movie because the people involved, all the people involved seem like they're very capable of turning out tremendous performances. And if the material they are given is excellent, then I think the movie will be excellent.
I will agree with that. I will definitely go see it. I'm not saying that. It's just like,
I don't know if
I'm a little worried.
Your trepidation is well founded.
Let's move on. Let's move on to
news, Andrew.
Yeah, we talked. I think we got the news.
I think we got. We've covered kind of what we wanted to talk about. So
onward,
onward and upward. Let's talk about Scene. Christopher.
This time of year, go ahead. No, please, Christopher.
Christopher, what do you got for Scene?
I will kick off the discussion with I saw the mid-season finales of both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow.
Yeah.
And The Flash.
Yes.
So we can talk about all those things because each of them have interesting things to think about and discuss. And I'm sure that we have a mix of reactions to all of them, but I will focus on Arrow. This show has been great this year, in my opinion. Lots of interesting multi-layered stuff going on. Very interesting reveals in the mid-season finale related to I'm blanking on his sister's name now. Shit.
Thea.
And what you learn about her and what he does, what Oliver does in terms of his love for his sister.
Yeah.
And then, you know, no spoilers because people may have DVR'd it or whatever, but in any event.
People in your household, you mean?
yes.
Yeah.
I wanted more out of the final confrontation, I have to say. That seemed a little bit like we were building up for the whole season to this confrontation, and I thought it would be much more badass and a better confrontation. And turns out that not so much. And then, you know, it's sort of the typical cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sort of, in my mind, it's a lazy thing to do a cliffhanger like they did.
Yeah.
and when everyone who's watching the show knows that the cliffhanger that they've set up can't result in what they are suggesting has happened.
There's no way.
So, you know, there will be some sort of explanation, some deus ex thing that will explain away sort of what we think we saw at the end of the episode and or what they showed at the end of the episode. But I was bummed out by that confrontation, frankly, and I wanted them to – I wanted there to be more to it than that. And I was certainly entertained. I've been very entertained by this season so far. The Flash finale was good reveals, excellent sort of final episode for the fall. Finally, we see the confrontation between Flash and Reverse Flash, and then the big reveal about a potential reveal about who the Reverse Flash is. Potential. Yeah. I say potential.
Because there is some ambiguity.
Yes, there is some ambiguity.
I think there is too. Totally.
Yep. Well, the core thing with the Flash that they've been building through all season is that it's the character we're talking about certainly seems to be a time traveler.
Yes.
So with time travel, really anything is possible.
I think. I think that they're trying to lead us towards that. The character is the Reverse Flash, but I think it's a switcheroo. I think he's going to be something.
Oh no, it's a red herring. It is absolutely a red herring.
Like they're trying to trick us.
That's why couched it in the way I did because I think that's too.
What a fun episode! Easy.
Very like, fun.
I love
the show's fun.
The show is fun.
More than any other hero show, really embraces its comic booky nature and the sort of love interest thing and the.
It embraces its comic bookiness, but I don't think for a second that it's like overly camp.
When I say comic booky, I mean just the serial, you know, hero figuring out his powers.
Yeah,
sidekicks who are enthusiastic and fun.
Yes,
intrigue. You know, all of that sort of.
Oh, we're kind of glossing over a large reveal that they had in the episode. We see a key character comes into the forefront in the terms of in Firestorm.
Great.
What's his Firestorm name? Is it Ray Raymond or something like
it's
that?
It's Ronnie
Raymond. Ronnie Raymond.
Ronnie, yeah. Yeah. No, that show has had a great first part of its first season. I agree with that completely. And a little thing that, you know, most shows haven't been for a while. They actually are kind of following the calendar year of the viewers that are watching it.
Yes.
They're both shows that had
Christmas,
quote unquote, Christmas episodes.
Yes,
set at Christmas.
I love that.
That was great.
Yeah,
you know,
it was totally.
I like when shows kind of do that. I remember fondly when The West Wing would have Christmas themed episodes right around Christmas time.
Yep.
I like that. Because I love Christmas, and when kind of shows incorporate that into their storytelling, kind of the act of giving gifts and Christmas and whatnot, it's fun. I think it's a good thing.
And
so
both
of them did that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The third scene that I'll mention is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
yes.
They wrapped up their initial storyline, but left a lot to be explored and pursued for the remainder of the season.
Yes.
I thought it was another powerful episode. They really are doing a good job of telling the broader story, examining individual challenges and struggles, but at the same time carrying forward. They found their narrative legs in my mind.
Yes.
And they've really been able to carry forward a compelling story with interesting characters and mystery and stuff like that. So I found that mid-season finale also to be very well done. So
I completely agree.
Excellent.
I will build on the three that you were talking, the three that you mentioned. And second, it's not a spoiler to say that the character that Oliver has to encounter and confront in this most recent episode of the finale is they pronounce it Ra's al Ghul in the show, which
do they
just drives
still
me insane.
Say that?
It's Ra's al Ghul. It's Ra's al Ghul.
Dude, did they not ask anybody?
Ra's is dead, man. Ra's is the
Are they just idiots? Like, are they not asking any like comic book nerd at all?
No, they've rejected that.
Yeah, they have embraced the mispronunciation.
You gotta get your brain around Ra's.
I know. I actually really like this iteration of the demon's head. That's what Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul translates into is the demon's head. I like the version that they have for him on Arrow. And we know him very well from Batman Begins and kind of the League of Shadows from the Dark Knight trilogy. But I like the iteration
of this
Ra's al Ghul
Batman,
for Arrow.
And the animated series that we grew up on and is the greatest Batman series ever. And they pronounce it correctly in that freaking show, idiots.
Either of you are thinking about giving me a gift, you can give me that.
That is such a good series, dude. It's so worth owning.
Yeah. I agree with you. I thought the confrontation at the end of that episode between the two of them could be a little more kind of epic. Mm. It was a little abbreviated. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I want to pose the question, and obviously it doesn't have to be answered, but the question that I have is how will the events of the show affect the larger Marvel Cinematic Universe? Because there's a pretty significant reveal and mystery that gets solved in the show. that could have serious implications for the rest of the Marvel Universe.
I will admit I have not watched the most recent Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
I'm not spoilerizing anything.
I will
anything.
Not be able to answer that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm struggling over which reveal are you talking about, Andrew?
Well, they solve the mystery of what kind of
the one character might be or is
and what kind of grand plan this. I mean, they go to this place, they activate this device, and it causes changes in certain people. So whoever constructed this place and constructed this device had some kind of plan, you would think, for the Earth and these people. How does, you know, we've encountered these people in other, you know, properties associated with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, they exist in Guardians of the Galaxy. They're a race that we encounter in that movie, and now we know that they have been on Earth, and they have been trying to influence things on Earth, and that we are aware of them here. How will that build? Will it be incorporated into the larger movie?
Well, I saw the headline. I saw the headline. Was it last week? About something in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to tie into Ultron.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
No, and that's my question. Will they wrap up this season and will it feed in directly into the movie? The movie comes out May 1st. That's when TV seasons wrap up is April and May.
Yeah. It's totally going to wrap up into that. If they don't do that, then they're silly because they got so many viewership from the crossover with
and that's
Captain
really
America.
Where they found their legs is yes. the tie-in stuff. They really
exactly.
figured it out.
Because what happened in Winter Soldier just destroyed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and rewrote the whole show. So of course they're going to do something like that. That would be silly for them not to do that.
I'm excited to see what they do. And excellent. New episodes. We won't have new episodes for a long time because they're going to do the
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter, the 7-episode Agent Carter run is going to start in January.
Does Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. come back in February? Is that right?
I think it's March, actually.
March. No, you're right. That's
January. Wow.
All right.
Seven, 8 weeks in January and February will be Agents of Carter.
Agent Carter.
And then it'll be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Carter.
Back up. Yeah.
Awesome.
My bad.
No, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Yeah. I watched the Flash mid-season finale also. I enjoyed that very much. I would like to continue my scene with an anime that I've been trying to contribute anime to this geek show a little bit.
Good.
It sounds like you're just trying to make Shane Mayo happy.
No, maybe.
I'm watching some anime.
No. He didn't recommend this one, so I just watched it. I read the synopsis and I found it interesting, and the first episode hooked me like crazy. So it's called Sword Art Online, and the first season is on Netflix. And the premise is it takes place in the future, a recent future, it's like 2040 something, I think, or 2025 actually. And they've made these video game machines that it's like a helmet that you put on that taps into your consciousness and you go into this online game, but you feel everything, you see everything, you smell everything, and you like basically exist in this world.
Yeah.
And it's like the first day of this new online game called Sword Art Online. And they're running around and they're like fighting stuff and they're like, oh, this is really great. This is like a whole world and there's like all these different levels and like everybody, you know, plays a little differently and you get all these new items and it's very like, oh, it's very World of Warcraft. So I liked it for that. But mm-hmm. then the big like stinger at the end of episode one is the creator of the game comes out and says, hey, guess what? There's no logout button. You can't get out of the game. If you die in the game, you die in real life. The only way to get out is to beat the game, and that's level 100. Work together, solve it, do your thing. And everybody, so everybody starts to freak out, and everybody like tries to figure out what they're going to do, and if people on the outside world try to disconnect them, the game kills them. And so they're trying to survive and trying to fight bosses and creatures and get gear and stuff to stay alive.
Kidding. But sounds cool.
That is kind of cool.
Very cool, very fun, really intense. The animation is fantastic, and I binge watched the crap out of this. And
how many episodes are on Netflix?
I think it's 22. It's season one.
How long are the episodes?
About a half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very watchable.
I need to check this out.
By the time you're done with like episode
What's
one,
it called again?
Sword Art Online. Yeah.
And you know what anime I watched, dude? Based upon your comment, was Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
My god, dude!
Dude, right?
I watched the first four episodes of that. That is jacked up.
I know. One of the most dark anime I've ever seen. I couldn't make it through it. It's so good. It looks amazing, but it's so messed up. It's like it's just depressing. It's really depressing. Yeah.
It's really well done. And they don't have to like it's not uber graphic.
Yeah.
But oh my god, the imagery that they tee up over and over again is just this assault. It was tough.
It's tough. A giant dude munching on human beings.
Munching on human beings.
And just blood and gore everywhere.
Yeah, bad. So anyway, Sword Art Online, I'm definitely going to check that out.
This piqued my interest for sure.
I will warn you, there's a lot of like melodrama. He falls in love, the main character falls in love with one of the other characters in it. There's a little love story going on.
Like love stories.
Yeah, yeah. It gets a little anime and cutesy, and there's some uncomfortable stuff, but it's one of the better ones I've seen in a while. Well, okay. I will say this. There's a character about midway through the show that is revealed to be something. I don't want to ruin it, but
don't ruin.
Yeah, but it it takes on the role of calling the main characters mommy and daddy, and it's a little weird because they're like teenagers, so
okay.
And it's very like, what? This is weird. But that's the only thing that I kind of had like a trepidation with. I rather enjoyed it. There is a season two. It's not on Netflix. When there is one, I will watch it because I really enjoyed this one. So
okay, I'll check it out.
Awesome. I think I might check this out too.
Cool.
I've never really been into anime. So.
Give it one episode. If you aren't hooked, like you, I don't know what. Like it's fantastic. Okay. Like the end of the episode, you're just like, what? This is crazy. And it totally taps into the whole like online, you know, MMO thing for me. You know, there's a lot of like the tropes of it. You know, you level up, you get gear, they need to like fight monsters to level up, and there's like this whole economy set up, you know, because they can't leave.
Yeah, they can't leave.
And so, like, certain characters don't even go out and fight. They just stay in the towns and, like, operate the blacksmiths and stuff, and they're, like, selling stuff to, like, characters who are trying to get in higher levels and stuff. So there's this whole, like, economy that builds in it, and there's this really cool stuff.
Straight up MMO.
And it's very fun for me. Mm. That's it for me. Let's move on to Red.
Let's do that.
Andrew, how far are you into Dune?
I put Dune down because I was working on the stack of comics that I have. I am totally caught up with Invincible. The most recent Invincible came out.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah.
It focused... Robert Kirkman's Invincible. It focused on a more minor character that we were introduced in, like, issue 10 Battle Beast.
Okay.
For those who read Invincible,
Battle Beast. Oh my god.
Yeah, he's like this white lion looking guy who kicks
Invincible's ass.
Oh, you know, he's at least like, as powerful as any of the other Viltrumites in the series.
He is a tough bad mother.
Where is he from? I don't remember.
He's like from another dimension or something, right?
Yeah.
Like
he is a character who moves through the dimensions and moves among planets looking for his equal in terms of a warrior. He wants to be given an honorable death in combat and meet the only warrior who is superior to him. He wants to kill up the champion, dude. Yeah.
Invincible
is the Holy Grail.
Dude, Invincible is so tropey though, dude. Like it has all.
Oh, it is. So, yeah. It plays on all that.
Right, it plays on all
that. Yeah, no. And so they give him an issue, and he searches down a particular foe, and they battle throughout the issue, and it's bloody and gory and carnage filled and ridiculous and all the things you love about Invincible comics. So I enjoyed that very much. So that comic is again great, and the art is always fantastic in Invincible comics. So that was very cool.
I got to
read
that one. When I come to visit, I want to dig through your Invincibles and read a little bit. I might be staying with you for a couple days, anyways. So
no, I think you're staying with me the whole time.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have other family here. Sue and Jim and Zach are coming.
Correct.
Yeah. So they're staying at mom and dad's house.
Awesome.
All of our listeners know all of our business now.
All of the family business.
Not quite all, but we're about 80% there.
80%.
Yeah.
I got some of the stuff I'm holding back.
You do.
Good.
There's one other good comic that
we don't want to give them everything.
That's right. Keep it coming back.
Yeah, that's right. We want to.
We piqued your interest now.
Wanting more.
Where's Patrick going to stay for Christmas Eve? You'll have to listen in, find out.
The next episode, the New Year episode.
What will the MacGuffin be for the visit?
The Kuka. Kuka is the MacGuffin.
Kuka is the MacGuffin.
It's always the MacGuffin.
Okay, sorry, Andrew. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. This is the funnest part of doing a podcast.
You stopped reading Dune. How is that possible?
I did not stop. I just have been doing.
He took
other
a break.
Things, like
he took a break
and playing it.
But how deep were you in? How deep were you in before you stopped? Have you read anything since we recorded?
Pages.
Oh, okay. So you're like still early on. He's really.
They're on Arrakis. Jessica is investigate. She has just come into another part of the household where it's like a greenhouse inside.
The water waste and the extravagance of the water.
Exactly. Yes. So that was a very interesting kind of moment in the book where she realizes that, and you think about it, and it builds on the whole, you know, ecology that the book builds about Arrakis and this world where water is the single most precious resource.
Well, it's just
and to have this extravagance of this greenhouse, it's just it's very interesting. Yeah, I have not encountered anything in this book that I didn't find interesting, and honestly, knowing that it came out in the mid '60s, just very kind of groundbreaking.
Totally,
in how the ideas that it poses in science fiction, it's just incredible.
I don't know if I don't know if the portion that you're talking about takes place before or after the scene where there's a Fremen that comes in who spits at the Duke. Have you been to that part?
I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. No.
Well, he spits at him, and our like society would see that as like a giant insult, and everybody starts to respond that way, but it's actually like he's giving him his water. And it's like a sign of respect. He's like, I spit at you to
water's so precious that saliva.
That saliva
has value.
Exactly.
Such a great idea.
Like the body's he gives it's you the body's water. I love
the
that
culture
line.
Of the culture of this indigenous people to Arrakis and how it has evolved and on a world where water is so precious.
That's how badass Frank Herbert is, dude.
Yeah,
it's
building at its absolute finest.
Deep level of thinking about how this world would operate, how these people would be, how their culture would be function, and that's just, it's just next level shit, dude. It's next level 100%. Shit.
Like, yeah, no, the book sits by my bedside. I will pick it up. I try, you know, I hang out with my wonderful girlfriend Adria, and I play Destiny, and I watch TV, and I have a lot of draws on my attention. So sometimes when I try to sit down and read, falling asleep.
Give him a break.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I have.
That's what you have, Christopher.
I will say that I am. Absolutely. We've committed at the beginning of this podcast to reading Batman Eternal. I am steadfast in reading that. I am current.
Wow.
Batman Eternal.
Good job, brother. Good job.
What issue is the current issue?
I don't remember the number, but I just know that I am.
So,
32, 33.
Are you enjoying your life? Do you think it's good? Are you glad that you spent the money?
yes. I on balance, the answer is yes. The story has some significant challenges for me in that they've gone down a path that is very cliche.
Okay.
And it bums me out because they could have this series could have been a real, like, let's introduce some new stuff, let's have a new take, let's, you know, really celebrate all these awesome characters in this universe and explore sort of a different aspect or do something that's unique. And What do they do? They sort of go to the tried and true, a storyline that we have seen in other venues and in other genres and in other contexts many times before, and I'm bummed out about it, actually.
That's seriously disappointing.
Yes,
yeah, it is.
And Hush is a great villain. I want more from that villain, and I am current. I will continue to read it. I hope that they pay it off and really explore some good stuff.
I've got them all. They just are sitting in a stack in my bedroom.
They narratively, they pick up and they do a good job. But then the last two or three issues, they go down this path that is a cliche, and I'm not too happy about it. So
that's absolutely
I am. I love the first three issues of Thor, the female.
Oh, that's the other thing I read. I read the second issue of Thor with the new female god.
I very much am enjoying that. Very much. I like the different take. I like the opportunity and possibilities associated with figuring it out. I'm not such a Thor sort of purist that I'm not in the minutia of the issues that people have pointed out as it relates to sort of the hammer and the interaction with this new person. And so I'm just enjoying it for what it is, which is an interesting sort of fish out of water, figuring it out.
Yeah,
but
inner
I've got
monologue.
Serious power, and you know it's really good. The art is terrific. I have high hopes for that series.
What issue are they on?
Three.
I will have to read those as well.
I'll specifically point out the new character who is the goddess of thunder and wielder of the hammer Mjolnir. Her inner monologue in the series is very funny.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. It adds another layer to
she's
everything.
She's having a dialogue with Mjolnir.
Yeah, it's great.
It's terrific because there's this moments where something seems to take her over or give her some knowledge, but then she's like, what the hell?
Yeah, am I really saying this right now?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's fun. Yeah. It's a fun take on it. I'm liking it.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yep.
Great. You got anything else, Christopher?
No, that's it.
All right. Cool. I finished Dune.
You did.
I listened to it and I finished it. I don't want to say too much because I actually think I want to wait to have a longer conversation with you, Andrew, once you're finished. I think that would be
once
a fun...
I am done.
Yeah,
we can devote an entire segment.
Not with me, number one fan.
Well, of
the
course,
book.
No. The three way conversation will.
Yeah,
happen,
I mean,
that
podcast deserves an extended discussion.
We will have when you are done. We will have an extended discussion. So I want to save it up, but I will say
so much to talk about.
I will say
it's really a mini book club on that thing.
Totally,
I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's probably one of the best books I've ever listened to / read. Really interesting ideas. Really like amazing story. Really kind of ramps up at the end. There's this kind of slow moving slog until this huge like craziness that happens. And it's just epic and amazing. And I'm really happy. Like I, as soon as it was done, it was like, okay, Dune Messiah. No. I need to switch to something else. So I did switch to something else, which I switched to Stormfront. So give you an example, like Dune was 20 hours of listening and Stormfront is only 8. So it definitely feels lighter, definitely feels faster, not a lot of, and like I downloaded it last week. I'm already like only have an hour left. I cut right through it.
They are fast paced. They move quick. There's a lot going on.
And with Marsden narrating, like it's so entertaining. I find myself like sitting in bed listening to it.
Yep.
Marsters. Yeah, that's right. Or I'm walking my dog, and I, Sawyer's super happy because I'm walking.
He does such a good job reading that book.
Oh, I'm so walking good. Around cool. like extra outside yeah. because you know I take my
Dresden
iPod with
has
me.
Such a He has such a distinctive voice, and his wit is so distinctive in the book that, hearing that narrated out and is told in the first person, it's you really have to act. You have to take on the character and act the character through the story. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can imagine Marsden doing
so
that
like,
wonderfully.
It's so like film noir and
yeah, no, it's great. Yeah,
like
it's
detective fun. Story kind of a thing that's so fun to listen to and like – It's so like, but like, there's so like film noir tropes, like crazy. Like, there's always like a bunch of women in it. And then like all
kind
these
of
like
femme fatales.
Right. Yep, right. Yep, he, yep. All, he's surrounded by all these like femme fatales and this like, you
the hard boiled, but the twist the hard, is the yeah. hard boiled detective, the police detective is a woman, you know, yeah. stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
Twist on that trope.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
interesting.
Very, very fun. Very interesting. With the, you know, the, I how many books of this series are there? Cause
14,
like,
15.
Oh my gosh. Cause like, I want to, like, I'm hooked.
Great.
I want to listen to like all of them.
Sean is working his way through them too. I think he told me the other day that he finished the last one. So he's caught up.
Is there actually like an end or are they still going?
Oh no, they're still going. The plan is he has said that the plan is to do about 20 books that are the main series,
okay,
and then finish it off with a three-volume apocalypse.
Oh, whoa.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Crazy.
That'll be awesome.
Yep.
I highly recommend this. It's so fast-paced and fun. And especially listening to it, it's highly entertaining. So I'm very happy that I downloaded it. I have another credit for Audible. I'm really tempted to, you know, I need to change it up, but I'm really tempted to get the second one But no, I think
they're pretty short, so they're easy to read. So you
guys got to help me make a choice. Like, what should I do? Should I go like The Hobbit? Should I go Lord of the Rings for my next?
You should
credit?
Reading The Hobbit will take you a couple of days, man.
Oh, okay, so I'll
you
just
should not listen
I,
to.
I
the
even
Hobbit.
Think I have. I think I have a copy somewhere that I can find. I think I bought it.
I would listen to Lord of the Rings or Dune Messiah.
Okay. I think I might go Lord of the Rings since I need to start, you know.
That's an epic.
That's probably
50 hours.
Oh, well, like if you buy something off Audible am I going to get the Fellowship or am I going to get the whole thing?
That's a good question. I don't know how they
have to investigate
it up.
I'll make a purchase and I will report back to you guys.
I bet you that's how they do it. It's probably Fellowship of the Ring is the only one you can get with a credit.
Yeah, then you have to buy the other two volumes.
And the two towers.
No, I haven't had any. Is there really like a restriction on your credits? Like you can.
You only get one a month.
Well, yeah, you only get one a month, but like you're saying, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. That like you can only get the one, and then like I'll have to wait till next month to use the credit.
I mean, you
can
shell out real money,
but
it will be I never do that.
Like I Dune took me over a month to listen to, so like I had two credits sitting for
me. Fellowship will probably take you at least a month.
So I'm going to. I think I'll go with that.
I think that's good.
I'm really excited about Firefight by
Brandon Sanderson.
I need to get that for my Kindle.
Is that out?
I think it's out.
I need to read that. Yeah.
Like I keep seeing like ads for the third one, Mitosis. So I think Firefight is out here. Let me Google this real quick. Sorry to
Andrew.
Pause.
Did you read Steelheart?
I have not. No.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, Steelheart's good.
Yeah. No. It definitely sounds like it should.
Yeah.
It's like a really interesting. Really interesting story. Really interesting
world. Take on
you guys have described to me.
It's Firefight's
absolutely.
Out.
Yeah, I think it's out. Yeah.
Put
it on the Christmas list.
Oh, actually. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. January 6th is Firefight.
Oh, okay.
So that's right. Okay.
Mm.
But there's another one. The Mitosis is the Reckoner's story. Which I think is like, those are like the rebels who are fighting. I think that's like a backstory thing. That is
going back to Dresden. I listened to a podcast that Jim Butcher appeared on.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it was a writer's a sci-fi, fantasy writer who has a podcast, and he had Jim Butcher on, and. Butcher said that he is hoping to be able to finish and release his first book in his steampunk series.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Yeah, you were talking about that. Yeah.
Next year.
Comic Con.
Yeah, sometime next year. Probably, okay. Probably second half of next year.
Okay.
Cool.
I
like it. I like it. All right, let's move on to Played. Yeah, there was kind of a big expansion that came out for the game that we like. You guys want to talk about The Dark Below?
We can do that.
Andrew?
Yeah?
Yeah, I downloaded that, and I mean, just to do some, quote-unquote, inside baseball, there was no download issues that I had. I logged in on the day it was available at about 6 a.m. local time, and it took me about 10 minutes to download it. There was no queuing, no nothing.
Which is, like, weird, because everybody...
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, total bog down, download forever, like, set it up overnight and have to wait. But the trick is, like, the download happened 2 weeks before with their update, and then it just was, like, a ticking timer that, like, activated as soon as...
Well, and if you had the code, you paid for it, the code would be activated, and it was all already on your hard drive, and it just turned it on.
basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, so, I hadn't paid for it yet, and I went to the tower, and Eris was standing there, and I got the quest from – I could get the quest from her while I was standing there.
No kidding.
I haven't paid for it, you know? And then I tried to join my friend who is starting up a mission, and it says, hey, you haven't paid for The Dark Below. Would you like to pay for it?
And I said
yes, and it immediately opened up my Xbox 360, and it brought up the purchase screen. I purchased it and had no doubt. It was like a little download, and then boom, right into it.
Nice.
Like, I didn't even leave Destiny. Like, it was still there.
Very cool.
They handled that pretty well, considering we reported on the massive issues that Blizzard had with the rollout of the WoW expansion.
Well, that's because of he who will not be named, because I don't want to give them any more airtime. But they had something to do with that, and they had something to do.
They were under attack,
and so was Xbox last week.
Yeah,
by these douchebags. Moving on, but that has something to do with it.
I fired that up too, and I made the mistake of I played through until the boss, until the whatever the guy's name, the whatever the guardian of Crota or whoever is in that room. I played the quest all the way down into that room with the big dude. The initial quest.
Okay.
The very first.
Yes.
West? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. When you go into the grotto and you have to fight the
guy with a sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. The first story quest. Yeah.
I set that on hard, like level 28.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a bad idea,
dude.
That dude lit me up.
Dude. They ramped this stuff up on 24.
This guy, they ramped this shit up.
I need to dial it back and play through at 24 because I got lit up.
You know, I played it on 24, and until you kind of figure out the best way, he smoked me a couple of times until I kind of worked out the best way to fight him.
You got to avoid his frontal attack and run away, and then pepper him, and then run away and avoid that frontal attack. Yeah, no, he would take my health down to almost nothing, and I would run away, and then I got him pretty low. I got him pretty low, but then I died. There are multiple waves of ads that come that killed me. So, yeah, I'll work my way through that at the normal setting.
Yeah.
Well, I wish we could play at the same time because I would definitely help you guys with that.
I am through the second story mission on that quest. You have to go through and investigate something called a war mind, and you encounter
the story has talked about him before. He was an AI that's on old Russia
that's right.
Part of the story has already been revealed about him that once the humans were like all killed off and were scattered, it was an AI, like a military AI, that fought against the minions of darkness and survived. Yeah. Like, it's still in there somewhere. And have you gotten to the under part of the
world? Oh, no, I've completed the second story mission. Yeah.
Cool. That's fun, right? With all the waves and the ogre. The that was so guys. Hard. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That ogre was hard.
That was awesome.
Yeah, no. It was awesome. Kind of the new aspect of the gameplay that they've introduced with the wizards who can drop vestiges.
Oh, yeah.
So there's kind of burning areas of floor that you have to avoid.
This is a term, an MMO term, Andrew, that I'm going to teach you. This is called poop. Stay out of the poop.
Stay out of the poop? Okay.
Don't stand in the poop. Yep.
Don't stand in the poo.
Stand in the poo. Yeah. Yep. So that was a... Yeah, no, I think... Yeah, I was playing that at level 24, and I was beating my head against the wall playing that. I died three or four times. I got through the multiple waves, and like I would encounter the ogre, and I would kind of deal with him, and then all of a sudden, a couple of his ads would come at me, and I wouldn't be able to hold them off, and they smoked me. I had to walk away for a little bit. I gave up on it for about a couple hours because I was so frustrated because I just couldn't get past it. But then I eventually kind of got the right combination of weapons and everything else that I was able to kind of I got through it and I was able to complete the story mission. So when they announced the Dark Below, they said they indicated that there would be three new story missions. So I'm through the second one.
Well,
so now the next story mission takes me to the moon. So
they said there's three, but there's a lot of content. Like, I've gotten a bunch of side missions, and then there's like this ongoing bounty that's like the purple bounty that you get is like a side quest that goes on like 10 things. There's like a bunch of stuff that keeps going. Like you got to got to do this. Now you got to do this. So there's a lot of there's a lot of content there. I was a little worried, but yeah, it's more than just the three missions, you know. Is that all you?
I would say that just I would add on to it the fact that the Hive is actually alien enemy race in the game.
Yeah.
So I love fighting the Hive. They're tough and interesting, and they look awesome. So I enjoy the fact that they have a larger kind of part of the game where you have to encounter them and try to defeat them, because they're the most interesting enemy race in the game for me. So
I really like fighting the Cabal, because when you shoot them in the head, they're like giant helmet pops off and there's a spray of purple.
The pressurized.
I love those guys.
Those guys are fun. No, I agree. But I like the Hive a lot. So I'm enjoying the missions just because fighting those guys is fun.
Fun stuff.
Cool. It's
fun
stuff. Christopher, what did you think of this expand? Like, you sort of commented, but
the game is fun. The combat, I just love the combat. And having some new content is always good. So
100%.
When I carve out some time to play it, because I've been playing my other obsession.
You've been wowing.
I've been wowing a lot. So,
Have you peaked? Have you level capped at 100?
Would you like to make a comment about your?
Yes, my main, my hunter, is at level 100. I have a level 3 garrison. I have multiple buildings in my garrison level 3.
What levels do the garrisons go up to?
3.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's the highest. Okay.
So you've level capped your garrison, too.
Yes, I've level capped my garrison.
Is there more to do with it, or is it sort of just like done, you know?
No, I have 23, 24 followers. I have multiple followers who...
Wait, do they follow you around? Or
they
just...
can. Some of them have the trait of bodyguard, and... When they have the bodyguard trait, you can take them out into the world with you, and they are like a pet, a companion pet.
Oh, that's great.
Interesting. Fight for you. So
that's very cool.
And I have multiple bodyguards, but I have not been bringing them with me because I've been sending them on missions. One of the garrison interfaces is a mission interface where you send your followers out on missions in order to level them up and get them better gear. Because when your followers are leveled up and have better gear, the missions that you send them on can ultimately result in getting gear for you, like raid level gear you.
Oh, whoa. Okay,
yes.
Cool.
So it's a mini game that's part of the main game that you have a bunch of followers. You level them up. You send them out on missions. The results of those missions can give them experience, and potentially give the rewards are garrison materials, and also potentially, depending on the mission, can give you armor and or weapons that are of a high level. So I've been focusing a lot on that, leveling up all my followers to level 100, and then gearing them up as well, because you can get items that will level up their armor as well as their weapons.
It's a fun mini game that they added that is, you know, for years, Patrick, you'll remember this, for years people were clamoring for player housing in the game, right?
Right, right, yeah.
And this is so much beyond just like the simple house. It's like a whole, like it's described, it's a garrison, it's a fort where you level it up and it's got walls and you're the commander of the fort. And you've got multiple buildings that are producing resources for you. It's very fun. It's very fun. In the meantime, you're going out and questing and doing all the things that WoW. And I'm in heroics and Raid Finder was released this past week. I haven't done LFR yet, but I plan to do it this week when I have some more time. So. I will check out the new raid that was released. The first wing is open, so I will be doing that as well. So yeah, cool, it's a good time.
Cool. My experience with The Dark Below has been interesting. Lots of fun, new gear, lots of cool ways to level up. You know, all the new stuff is more interesting than you know, like resetting everything, all the new drops and all that stuff, but. My raid team attempted the Crota's End. We're all
raid.
The new raid. The first part of it is one of the hardest, most interesting, fun, crazy chaos I've ever played in a game. Like you drop into this hole and. It's pitch black all around you, and all you can see is like a walkway with water around it, and then there's a lamp, a tower that is lit in the distance. It's black all around you, and you start to gain this stack on you called the Weight of Darkness, and as you wait, it becomes higher. It's like times one, times two, times three, times four. So you start to run to the light. Well, as you run to the light, hundreds of thralls start running at you.
Man.
And you are getting slower and slower, and you're having to shoot and run, and you can't jump because this weight. And then you get to the light, but we didn't figure this out. We have no idea what to do. We get to the light, and the light starts to burn out, and if you stay there for too long, it blows up and kills you. So you got just countless thralls coming at you. The weight starts to go off of you. You stand there and try to not die because they're just all around you. You're surrounded. And then you look off into the distance, and there's another light in the distance.
Oh my God.
So you run to that, and the weight starts to stack up again, and countless thralls, and now there's a knight coming out of the darkness, and he's swinging at you, and he's trying to kill you, and everybody's
done. That sounds awesome.
All your friends are dying around you, just insane. Like, you're just like, no, keep running. You get to the light, and you're the first one there, and like, your weight is starting to drop off, and they're not there yet, because they're slower, and you're like, oh my God, should I keep going? So you run off on your own to the next light, and you can't even wait, and then that one blows up and kills your friend, and you just keep going, and it's like, where's this gonna go? Oh my God, you're running along, and then there's a hole in the ground, and you fall down the hole, and you die, because you can't see anything, because it's black. And then you watch your friends running keep running, and we're just scattered, and trying to run to the light, and then you get to the end, and then there's this there's a circle on the ground, and you need to hold the circle, and now there's an ogre coming out, and he's lighting you up, and you're just you're stacking up this weight,
and
you're just go.
That sounds
just
awesome.
It's just insane. It's insane.
We got to do the first raid.
Yeah, we got to do the vault.
Oh yeah, I'll totally do that with you. It's still fun, still good. Yeah. And now I'm 31, so I can destroy crap. So,
I read online that when The Dark Below dropped last Tuesday the 9th, there was a group of people, the first people to complete it took them 6 hours.
I saw that,
to get through the
Crota's End raid. So
there's a part where you get to where everything you fight is 31.
Oh god.
The damage drop off is something like 30% for every level they have on you.
Yeah.
So you're just not doing enough damage to them, and we just kept dying over and over and over.
And they hit you like a freaking hammer.
Yeah, yeah. You
every
don't
hit you
survive.
Take is a damn hammer. Yeah.
And the part we're at is like timed. So like,
yeah.
Once you enter the area, a timer starts, and you have to kill everything in the room before the 3 minutes runs out. And we're just not doing enough damage to them, being 30. And so everybody needs to level up. Everybody needs to get some better gear. Some of my raid team got some gear from the raid.
Such is the nature of these types of games.
Exactly.
Grind away, get some better gear. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we haven't beat it yet, but we beat the first two phases.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. It's a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Good, good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's the same mechanics as the Vault of Glass, correct? That you can save your progress for 7 days.
It saves where you're at. Yeah, it resets on Monday night at 2 a.m.
Okay.
And that's that's usually the time Yeah, we usually run it Tuesday nights. Okay. That's when everybody's free.
So your first attempt, you first have attempt. Not completed the raid. Your first attempt your save will exhaust.
It'll go
like 24 hours.
The only way,
26 hours.
Yeah, the only way that you can continue it is if you start it before it resets and then you never leave.
Oh, okay, I got you. But then as soon as you leave, that raid will cease to exist.
Cease to exist and it'll reset. So
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys gonna make it to try to finish it before the reset in like 26 hours?
I don't think we can. I'm the unofficial raid leader. So I've made the call that every before we can defeat the next spot, before I will attempt the next spot, everybody needs to be 31 and have their gear leveled up higher, their weapons leveled up higher. So everybody's off right now.
Next attack damage, probably.
Right. Everybody's out. Everybody's out right now, leveling up, doing bounties as much as they can, getting leveling up their new gear, getting the new 331 damage weapons. So that's what our plan is until we know we can finish the first two phases. I don't doubt that. But the third phase, man, everybody's just hitting us so hard, and it's timed, so we can't like hang back and like wait. We have to go in there, we have to do enough damage, and we have to do it right. So I don't think we can complete it.
And Bungie learned their lesson, man. People were figuring out ways to, you know, beat the strikes and probably beat the raid by, you know, waiting stuff out and allowing kind of things to progress. And so now they're timing the aspect of this raid.
I hate
so that's
time
cool.
stuff. I really do. I feel like it forces you to fight when you shouldn't, you know, running and gunning and like I don't know. I understand why they did it, but it still sucks. It still is annoying.
Just,
that I'm on
so,
a time
makes it so hard.
Right, I'm on a timer. Like it's hard enough as is, and now there's like a ticking clock that's just gonna murder me. Like that's rough. So that's about it for me. Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a trivia question for us?
I absolutely have a trivia question for the both of you.
Yay.
Because it is, 'tis the season.
Ooh.
Tell me the highest grossing Christmas film and its gross.
Oh my
all time.
God.
Ooh, highest grossing in today's dollars?
Today's dollars. I'm fairly certain you'll get it, but you'll be surprised at how much money it is. But tell me the highest grossing Christmas film.
Let's explain the parameters. Is a film like Die Hard considered a Christmas film?
No. Like released on Christmas is what you want, right?
No. It deals with
Christmas as a theme.
Christmas as a theme. Exactly.
Christmas as a theme.
Because, I mean, even Iron Man 3, it's set at Christmas time, but it doesn't deal with aspects of Christmas.
Okay. Aspects of Christmas.
Highest grossing Christmas movie and what the number is.
Mm-hmm. But I would pick like something classic like It's a Wonderful Life or Christmas Story or something. But like those movies didn't make any damn money. I mean, like they made money for when the time they came out. But like, are we adjusting for inflation or is it like money today money? You know,
today money.
Give a clue. We need a clue.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Is it pre? Okay, here's what I'm going to request.
Yeah,
was the movie made before 1980 or after?
After.
Oh. After 1980.
Christmas movie.
Is it a Christmas story?
I bet you it's one of the Santa Claus.
Oh, like Tim Allen? Yes. Santa Claus?
Yes.
That's a good guess because that made a lot
of
money.
I'm gonna go with number one, the Santa Claus, the first one.
No, I gotta guess. My guess is what? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Yeah,
I'm going with Santa Claus.
Okay, Christmas Vacation is my.
Those are your guesses?
Yep.
You're both incorrect.
Ah,
you are missing a very key kind of beloved Christmas film, Home Alone.
Oh jeez.
You're right.
Oh my god. Yeah. How did we miss Home Alone?
My guess for the number is like 400 million.
Oh, yeah. Like on the day of or total gross? It's got to be.
Total gross.
It's probably
400
like,
million.
It's got to be 400, 500 million. Like,
you guys are way overshooting it. It's still a really impressive number. $285 million.
Jeez. That's a lot. Because that movie cost like nothing to make. Like,
oh yeah, no, the budget on that movie was like $18 million.
So they totally
screwed up.
According to boxofficemojo.com, $285 million and the budget was $18 million.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's freaking insane. The whole thing takes place at a house. They just filmed in this one house. They had no,
suburban Chicago. Yeah, right. Directed by Christopher Columbus, written by John Hughes.
Oh, my God. What a great movie.
And Patrick, you'll appreciate this because you're such a big fan. The music of the film, written by John Williams.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I am a huge fan. Yeah.
Wow.
Macaulay Culkin.
That's a good theme.
Yeah,
I might have to listen to that after the show.
It is amazing he is still alive. That is an absolute certain fact.
Who's still alive?
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin. God.
He's looking a little haggard on the edge. Right?
He was teetering on the edge.
Is he looking better?
What saved Macaulay Culkin is the fact that he dated Mila Kunis for like 4 years.
Oh, really?
Before Mila Kunis got together with Ashton Kutcher. She was with Macaulay Culkin for a long time.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right? Yeah.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email us about comments or questions about the show, you can email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. And you should visit us on our website, brothersgeek.com. That's would be nice.
Yep.
So
like us. I was gonna say like us on Facebook. We don't have a Facebook page.
We should make a Facebook page.
Rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Rate us five stars on iTunes.
If you're listening to this and you like our show, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Yes.
We will if you write a little review on iTunes about us, we'll read it on the show.
Yep.
We will.
So you should.
We'll
make you famous. Yep. So thanks a lot for listening. And
remember, Han shot first.
Yes, he did.